victory is going to come. Remember that evangelist loves to hear from you. And every minister said,
amen.
Amen. And so pull on the gift. The more you deposit into the heart of that preacher, the more he's going to deposit right back to you again. How many believe that? So I don't want any wet blankets tonight. I want the Holy Spirit to have his way. May God just move in our midst. Amen. As our brother comes, oh, victory is mine. Sweet victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Because I told Satan just to get behind. Well, victory today is mine. The Holy Ghost is mine. The Holy Ghost is mine. The Holy Ghost is mine. Holy Ghost today is mine. Because I told Satan just to get
Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times you go places you don't want to go. But I love coming to church. Hallelujah. But I like to come with people that feel the same way I do. Amen. But if you don't, that ain't going to stop nothing. We're still going to have church. Amen. God is good. It's good to be here at BCF again. Appreciate Brother Lonnie. Amen. And Brother Jeff. Amen. Precious brothers. Amen. Men anointed of God. For you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know the gift of God is for the body.
Right.
Amen. So I stand here tonight at your disposal. Use me up.
Amen.
Amen. But we love the Lord, and it's good to have my family with me this time, my wife and my precious kids. Amen. Traveling with me this trip. So y'all pray for them. Amen. But we're going to bow and have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the word tonight. Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the merits of your grace, Lord. Lord God, not in our own choosing, Lord, but you choosing us. And Father God, we're here tonight, Lord, based upon your calling and your choosing. And Lord God, help us to fulfill, Lord, the purpose that you've placed in our lives, Lord. Lord, help us to answer the call tonight, Lord. And Lord God, knowing, Lord, that, Father, you're among us, Lord, because your words say wherever two or three may gather, you'll also be in the midst, Lord. And Lord, we don't take that as just a slogan, Lord, but that's the truth of your word, Lord. A divine promise which you've given unto us in this day, Lord. Lord, we pray, Father, that the unction of the Holy Spirit may minister to the hearts of your children tonight, Lord. Lord, help us to practice the greatest gift given unto men, as your prophet said, and that's moving out of the way, that the Holy Ghost could have total preeminence. And Lord God, we pray that there's anyone sick, Lord, that through the preaching of the gospel, you could heal their bodies, Lord. If there's anyone sad or down or whatever it may be, Lord, let the word be the absolute tonight. And Lord, we pray for this church, Lord, and the pastor, Lord, that you continue, Lord, to bless them, Lord, and make them stronger in thee. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and we thank you. The church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Isaiah the 14th. Chapter. Amen. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
We're going to start reading at verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said, now listen, I want you to catch how Satan thought about himself. He said, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Basically, Satan is saying, I'm going to be God. That was his desire. His desire was to be worshipped just like God. Amen. Verse 15, it says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell and to the sides of the pit. Hallelujah. Let us go to St. John 10. Make the reading short. St. John 10 and verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only just we don't have just a church message, amen, but this message is supposed to produce a more abundant life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word. You can have your seats tonight. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise as we sit down. Amen. We certainly love the Lord tonight. Amen. And I challenge you to get in an atmosphere where God can answer your prayer. Amen. Because like I said, I'm just a tool. I'm just a gift to your disposal tonight. Whatever you need, it's in me tonight. Whatever, because this is the service that God has ordained for this time and this hour. So if you're in church, I'm here to meet your need tonight. But you got to step in a channel where you can handle the gift like it's yours. Amen. Amen. Tonight, my topic is something real simple. We want to talk about your enemy a little bit. Amen. My topic tonight is the challenge of sin. Amen. Yes. The challenge of sin. Hallelujah. Now, we all, in our own way, we can demonstrate or we can talk about what we believe sin is. But the thing I want to talk about concerning sin is when sin becomes iniquity. Amen. Now, when we read about Satan in his heart, he desired to be worshipped. He desired to be just like God. And think about it. He always tell us, Brother Jeff, you don't have to pray. You don't have to sing. You don't want to worship. He's such a perverter and such a liar. He'll tell us, don't want to be like God when that's the one he really wants to be like. Satan wants to be just like the one he's telling you don't be like. Hallelujah. But Satan, and when you read the scripture, we can see that he was in heaven. He knew what the good things of God was. He saw God in all his power and authority, and Satan covered that. Satan wanted that. But the Bible says, when we go over, let's go to the scripture right here, because I want to show you your enemy. Let's go to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. I want to read, I'm going to jump around a little bit right here. Verse 2, it says, the Son of Man saith unto the Prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. See, Satan already in heavenly places, he already in his heart wanted to be like God. And you know that the prophet of God said, whatever's in your heart, that's what's going to come out. And Satan in his heart, although it was a perverted heart, it was a perverted heart. The Bible says, as we read on down, it said that Satan, when Lucifer was created, he was created perfect in all his ways. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? The one we call the devil, in God's eyes in heaven, he was created perfect. But there was a, if I can say it like this, there was a purpose behind this madness. Amen. There was a purpose behind God creating him like this and then him falling and going down to the earth and producing what we call sin. Hallelujah. Now, our enemy, when he was in heaven, the prophet of God said he was God's right-hand man. The Bible called him Son of the Morning. He was a light bearer, bringing in the light as God walked in with all the holy angels. Satan was right there watching God in all his power and authority. And Satan covered that. He wanted that more than some of us wanted. Hallelujah. He could see God in all his glory. He could see all the angels falling down on their knees saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." And we come to church day in and day out and we can hardly raise our hands. When your enemy knows what it means to worship God. Your adversary knows what it means to see God in his element where everything is bowing down, giving him praise and adoration. Hallelujah. And in his heart, he saw that. In his heart, he said, "I want to be like the Most High." In his heart, he wanted to be worshiped in the congregation. Hallelujah. So God said, it can't be two gods in heaven. I'm God, and everything else behind me is my helper. Hallelujah. You know, the men know what I'm talking about. That's how we feel at home sometimes. This is my castle, my house. Everybody do what I say. Till the wife come in. Amen. Hallelujah. Some more sense to that madness. But now let's get into this a little bit. Now God, the Bible says that iniquity was found in Satan's heart. And what is iniquity? Iniquity is knowing to do right and you do evil. Satan knew that he was out of his place. Hallelujah. He knew that God was the only God. But he was created for that purpose. He was created to go against God. Why? So sin could challenge God. Woo! So he could bring Satan down to the earth and mess up the Garden of Eden. What did he do? When God created Adam and Eve, there was no sin there. Everything was perfect. Adam didn't know God as a redeemer. Adam didn't know God as a healer. He didn't know God as a savior. So sin came down and gave God a challenge. And that challenge brought out the attributes of God. That challenge brought the savior out. That challenge brought the healer out. That challenge brought God on the scene. Hallelujah. So sin challenged God, and God now is meeting the challenge. Hallelujah. But let's look at what God is bringing us to. Where we are, what we lost, where we're going, and what we're supposed to possess. Now, before sin left heaven, did y'all catch that? We know the prophet of God says sin started in heaven. Before sin left heaven and got on the earth, Adam didn't have any problems. Adam didn't have any trials or tribulations. Adam was in the image of God. Adam was God's reflection. Brother Branham said he could look over the banister and God could see himself. Amen. Hallelujah. What did sin do? Sin made man think about himself different. Before sin came in, Adam, whenever he went out and spoke, everything obeyed his voice, just like God. You know how the prophet say, Adam say, "Tree, get up and go over here." The trees got up and went over there. Why? Because he was God's very reflection in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. He was God on earth who God was in heaven. But what I want you to see is, that's how God created man. But Satan is the middleman making this man think that he's not this man in heaven. Woo! Hallelujah. That's what your enemy is doing. He's the middleman, perverting your thoughts, perverting your actions, perverting the way you see yourself so that you can live below your standards. The prophet of God said, we as message believers, He didn't say message believers, but we as the children of God, we live below our standards. What is he saying? He wasn't talking about doctrine. He wasn't talking about just coming to church and going home and paying tithe. He was talking about life and life more abundant. Hallelujah. Because Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. And once sin came in, the man that was once living eternally died. He stole his anointing. Hallelujah. Through the attribute of sin. When sin came in, Adam could no longer see himself standing in God's presence anymore. Oh my. You see how strong iniquity is. When you do wrong, it puts you in a place to where you don't even want to stand in God's presence. Let alone come to church. Because there's something in you that says you're not worthy. But who told Adam he wasn't worthy? It wasn't God. Because even after Adam, this is what I like to tell the young people, Brother Lonnie. Even after Adam fell, he still heard God calling his name in the cool of the day. Even with sin in his life, he still heard the voice of God. So your life, your problem is not an excuse. Hallelujah. You think about it. The very two that let sin on the earth, God still called their name. And you want to tell me you can't meet the challenge of sin in your life? Whew, man. But what it is, it's the presence of fear. It's the presence of fear living within us. And in certain situations, when you would operate as a child of God because of fear, sin is there. And you live below your standards. Hallelujah. But I'm here to say, God has made a way back. Amen. Hallelujah. God has made a way back. Amen. Let's talk about Adam a little bit more. Because I want us to see who we really are. Yes, sir. I want us to see how God originally created us. Amen. Now we read in Genesis, the Bible says that every seed brings forth of his own kind. Whose seed is in itself. That means when Adam fell, God didn't have to go back and plant the seed again. When Adam fell, he didn't have to go back and create another Adam. All he had to do was put Adam back in that atmosphere again where he could remember how he operated as a God. Where he could get condemnation and then he could live by conviction. Woo! Once he could live by conviction again, he could walk back into that place he lost with a free heart. See, what was the difference before Adam fell and after Adam fell? Before he fell, he had a pure heart. He didn't reason with the word of God. Whatever God said, he just done it. God said, Adam, I want you to go walk on water. He'd go out there and just walk on water. Because there was no reasoning in him. Sin had not touched his heart. But once sin came in, he ran out of the presence of God. That's right. And God said, who told you was naked? Right, right. See, now he's living a life of fear. That's right. Now he's living a life, I'm not worthy to be in your presence, Lord. But God never told him that. That's right. That's an attribute of sin. Right. That's the challenge of sin in your life. You got to think about yourself how God thinks about you. And I don't know about y'all, but I come from God and I'm going back to God. It ain't a sin strong enough out here in 2010 that can keep me in the world because I got the gene of God in me. Hallelujah. Oh my. See, what we got to realize is in every age, every day, there was a challenge of sin. If we go to the first seal, what was that? False doctrine, right? God sent something out to challenge that doctrine. Yes. Amen. What was it? It was an anointing. Amen. God sent an anointing to cut the devil off. And the Bible says in Isaiah, the 10th chapter, I believe, he says, because in that day, because of the anointing, the yokes will be broken. The burdens will be lifted because of the anointing. Hallelujah. In what day? Our day. Because we have the fullness of the anointing in our day. We have the restoration of the bride tree in our day. We have the restoration of the gift, restoration of faith, restoration of it all in our day. We don't have just a reformation. We have the tree blossoming again. We have the tree. I feel my helper coming on. Hallelujah. We have the tree bringing forth fruit now. But as long as you live with iniquity in your life, you will always see yourself living below your standard. Think about it, church. If the devil could live in God's presence until iniquity came in his heart, he was fine. Everything was all right. The Bible says he was up there until iniquity was found in his heart. So what stops us from being the children of God? Iniquity. The prophet of God say, you say, how can we get closer to God? He said, read your Bible and pray every day. Amen. Just that simple. Read your Bible and pray every day. But it seems so hard to us. It seems so hard to us. I tell you an easy way to do that. If you go to work every morning, lay your Bible open on your seat before you get in your car. I guarantee you, you'll read it every morning. If you got to go to work. Unless you start saying, I don't want to drive no more, I want to walk. But if you get in that stage, it's a spirit on you. Because you're running from the word of God. You're running from doing his will then. When God puts it right in front of us. Amen. See, church, we are in a day when all the mysteries have been revealed. Amen. We are in a day where we don't have to wonder where we're standing. Amen. We're standing in the end time. The prophet has come and the prophet has gone. But where are you? What are you revealing? Amen. Hallelujah. I've been kind of dealing with a topic, the purpose of his coming. Why did God come? Why did he come down in our day? Why didn't he come down in the day before we got here, in the day before William Branham was born? Why did he come down in our day? Because there was a people around this man. Oh, my. There was a people. Oh, hallelujah. Just like when Jesus was being born. His star was saw up in the sky. His star was, it was identifying that the master was on earth again. Hallelujah. And there was a group of people, Brother Jonathan, a small group of people that realized he was being born. And those stars, Ham, Shem, and Jethro, they began to come together and lead to the star. Hallelujah. And as they went down to Herod the king, they said, Herod, where is the king of the Jews? Slapped Herod in the face. Herod thought he was the king. But the children of God, they come to identify their real king. The real king is not the Pope. The real king is not Barack Obama. The real king is not your job, not your car, not your money in the bank. The king is Jesus Christ. The king is not your flesh. The king is not your good looks. The king is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And until we get a revelation of Jesus Christ, we'll live with iniquity in our heart. You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of seeing a church full of revelation but can't operate in it. I'm tired of seeing a church who can break down the seals and all the mysteries, but they can't even believe God when they get sick in their body. See, what you got to realize is the challenge of sin. And we all know that I had cancer. But what did that cancer do? That cancer brought out the revelation of Jehovah Rapha. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, with that cancer, I would have never knew God as a healer, a divine healer. No medicine, no chemo, no nothing. A divine healer. So God let sin come down and challenge him. Then God shows up and deal with the sickness. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm trying to show you in your everyday life. If there's sin about, that means that there's something in you that can defeat it.
That's right.
But one thing I find out, people are living with sickness and comfortable with it.
Yeah, right.
I was somewhere preaching one time, and I began to smell the spirit of diabetes in church. And I began to call the spirit out. I knew it was in there. Because one thing we got to realize, this message is so direct. This word is so direct. You remember the prophet of God said, in order for the preacher to preach on it, that means it's not under the blood.
Right.
Hallelujah. And in order for me to call out a spirit in your church, that means the spirit got to be here. Because if it was under the blood, I couldn't preach on it if I'm under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If it's God leading, all he sees is the blood. And anything else that's not under the blood, he comes to make it clean. Hallelujah. And the only way to make it clean is to call it out and deal with it. Hallelujah. So don't get upset when you see the minister walking down your door talking about what's going on in your house. That's because there's something there not under the blood. And God will come to meet the challenge of sin every time. God will come to show you that he's greater than Satan. He's greater than the devil and all his imps and all his different anointing. What is a devil? What is a sickness? No more. Like the prophet said, fallen angels. Those angels that sided with Satan. You know, Satan had to be real convincing and even somewhat looking powerful in heaven. To take some holy beings and side with him in his folly. Now their destiny is the lake of fire. That's a strong anointing, isn't it? That same anointing is on earth. That's why people won't be faithful to church. That's why they'll stay home. That's why they flip-flop with their tithes. They pay their bills first instead of giving God his money. Put them stones down. I feel somebody aiming at me. But iniquity laying in the midst of your belief. Hallelujah. See, why I keep going back to Adam? Because Adam, before sin came in, before he leaned to his own understanding, he was perfect in God's sight. And just like his enemy, Satan was perfect in God's sight until iniquity was found in his heart. But we know that he was created for the purpose to bring sin on the earth so that God could come down and express his attributes. Hallelujah. So church, what I'm saying is, in your time of need, is there an attribute of God being reflected, or do you just live in sin? Because if the challenge is not met in your life, you live in sin. If you are sick and walking with a sickness, where did that sickness come from? You say, well, God allowed these things. But show me in the Bible where he says, bear with it.
That's right.
Amen.
Until I return. Why y'all getting quiet? I tell you why. Because some of you got diabetes and you're still taking the medicine. Some of you got certain little sicknesses and you just haven't reached that level yet. And what we do, because we've been taught right and we have a good message, we'll say, well, Brother Deeks, that's according to your faith. So what are you telling me? You don't believe? Oh, my.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I'm just a believer.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what it took for me to become a full-time evangelist? I had a 12-hour job that I wouldn't give up and a burden on my heart to minister the gospel. God said it's either or. I say, Lord, I'm not going to quit the job. You got to do something for me. So you know what happened? Because I wouldn't quit, I started to lose my eyesight. Because by profession, I was a truck driver. So God said, if you're not going to quit, I'm going to make it so you get fired. And to make a long story short, that's what happened, Brother Lonnie. I called a boss man and I said, I got to go to the eye doctor. This is my second time. He said, if you go to the eye doctor, you're going to be looking for another job. I said, well, I got to go, and I went, and he fired me. Now, I could have got all mad and upset, which I did at first before I understood what God was doing. Get all mad and upset and everything, but then I began to think. See, man, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Why? To meet the challenge. Hallelujah! God hardened his heart because he wanted to show all Israel how great he was. He wanted to show all Israel that Pharaoh does not have control over their lives, but he controls Pharaoh's life. Hallelujah. Do you not know that Our enemy, the very one Lucifer, Satan, the dragon, was created by your God. And you mean to tell me he's going to let something he's created, oh my, get the best of the gene in you? Did he overcome him in heaven? So that means he can overcome him in earth. But the thing is, he wants you to be a part of this thing. He wants you to see that the life inside is real. That the life inside has power. The life inside has authority. The life inside is God. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh my. But the challenge of sin. Why do we have scriptures like this? Count it all joy when you fall into doubtless temptation. What's happy about falling? What's happy about it? See, we got to catch, Brother Ram says scriptures have compound meanings. What we have to do is catch it. In that time of trial, what is God doing? See, in my trial, I'm looking at it sometimes, and you got people, oh, get a lawyer, sue him, because he shouldn't have fired you like that. But God is saying, I got him just where I want. I got him just where I want. And he let it, sometimes God will let it go on so long, because sometimes if you come right out the trial, you go back to your old ways. He knew, I'm walking around with my eyes closed like this. I couldn't drive no more. My wife had to do all the driving. I couldn't go out to no meetings. I couldn't even read my Bible because my eyes were closed. But who was it? Who gets the credit, the devil or God? Oh, my. It's a challenge, church. It's a challenge. Hallelujah. And now I'm sitting there, and all this is going on. And then one day I had some meetings set up in the midst of this trial that I had to go preach down in Florida. So I called and tried to get out of the meeting. That's how we do sometimes. God is trying to bring us to a higher level, and we're looking for a way out. God is trying to show us that he can meet the challenge of sin in your life, and we're calling the pastor. Brother Lonnie, can you help me out? I just don't know what to do. And he's going to tell you, go get on your knees and ask God. Hallelujah. So now I'm looking for a way out. And the pastor who was holding the meetings, I had to preach a weekend. He said, I called him. I said, I probably ain't going to be able to come. You know what he did? He said, what you mean you ain't going to be able to come? He said, man, you got to preach. I said, pray about that thing and come on. He left me with nothing to lean on. He left me with nothing else I could do but go and pray. Nothing else I could do but depend on God. Nothing else I could do but get in my prayer closet and say, Lord, meet this challenge. Lord, I'm depending on you. I don't know what's going on, Lord, but I need you now. But then in the midst of all that, my wife gets inspired because she know I'm a preacher. Hallelujah. And she know I love being around the children of God. So in the midst of the challenge, she gets inspired to do something she's never done before. So she says, honey, if you want to go, I'll drive. Y'all know how we brothers are. We got to do all the driving, all the stopping, everything. That's just our part of control, you know. Hallelujah. So she gets inspired and she says, I'll drive. So I'm like, you gonna do what? She says, she'll drive. I say, well, okay. But those were just the right words. At the right time. Because what God was doing, God was meeting the challenge. Woo! God was meeting the challenge of sin. Hallelujah! God was meeting that unbelief that was trying to turn into something else in my life. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you, when you're going through a trial, you got to have a good attitude. Because if you don't have a good attitude, Satan can catch you down and out in the dumps and give you something that you really don't have. I went to one doctor. Brother Harold, he said, I went to him, and he was doing a test and all this stuff, and looking at me, and I did a urine sample, and he was like, oh, man, he come back in all excited. Oh, man, you got so much sugar and glucose in your urine. Oh, diabetes. But that just didn't register with the gene inside. So you know what I did? I issued a challenge. Hallelujah! Was it me or was it the germ? Was it the gene of God accepting the challenge of that doctor's theology? Now he's going to tell me what I got based to his training and based to his teachings. And I'm going to respond based to my training and my teaching. So he tells me, Brother Lonnie, oh man, he's got all the sugar, diabetes. I said, look, doc, what you see is a large sweet tea. That's all it was. What is sugar? Sugar is something that you put in your body. But the doctors, based upon accepting that thought, turns into unbelief, then it becomes a devil.
That's it.
Hallelujah. So you have to know how to meet the challenge when it starts.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, oh, come on, man, just sweet tea. He said, don't pass through your body that fast. He's going on and on and going on. You know, I'm sitting in his chair, you know, sitting right there. He's going on and on. See, church, the greatest battle ever fought. And if Satan can get you reasoning in your mind,
exactly right.
He pretty much got you.
Amen. Right.
But if you stand your ground, there's one scripture. One scripture says, resist the devil and he'll flee.
Amen.
It didn't say go in your room and pray, shout, have a prayer line. It say resist him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because you're going to be challenged until we get a body change. But it's how you meet the challenge. And I'm sitting there in the doctor's office, which I really didn't want to go, but because of I have loved ones, you know, they push you into these things sometimes. You know, I'm sitting there, and he's like, oh, man, sugar, he's all excited, like he's going to get a bonus. You got to watch them doctors sometimes. They be acting kind of strange. You know, it's like sad news is good news to them. You know, I'm like, he's like, well, you... oh, man, you got sugar, glucose, and naming all these big, powerful demons.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting there and I say, look, doc, what you see is a large, sweet tea. So he comes at me from another angle. He says, yeah, you know, but this and that, but it don't use it. Go through your system. I say, doc, a large, sweet tea. So he comes at me again. He says, look, man, I got you in here. You got to at least let me take the, you got to at least let me do the test. You know they can give you a devil just like that now. They prick your finger, and you got it. Just like that. It don't take some long. You go home, and we're going to read the result. Then you come back, and you got the devil. No, devil trying to give it to you real quick now. That's why you got to meet the challenge with the Lord on your side. Hallelujah. So before I allowed him to take the test, I said, okay, doc, since I'm, because I was confident. I'm sitting in there, and he said, oh, I said, okay, doc, if you're going to take the test, I said, but before you take the test, remember this, a large sweet tea, super size. So he's like, oh, okay, man, whatever. So he takes the thing, pricks my finger, it goes off just like that. He said, you're right. And I'm like, I know. Tea. Didn't I tell you tea? Tea. That's what you see in my system. Tea. Not a devil. Not unbelief. Tea. And you ain't going to give it to me. Although I don't know what's going on in my eyes, it ain't diabetes.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah. Now see, if I was miserable, if I came in and said, I don't know why God doing this to me, I'm supposed to be an evangelist. God's supposed to be on my side. I don't know why I'm going through this. And the doctor say, oh, Mr. Diggs, you got diabetes. Oh, God, you done gave me diabetes too.
Exactly.
See, the wrong attitude?
Yes, sir.
It'll project your destiny. But the right mental attitude towards any divine promise. It'll make you operate and live like a child of God. It'll meet the challenge of sin every time. Hallelujah. But that was just the top of it. So now I'm going, we're going on down the road. We're down in Florida. My wife driving and I'm just as happy as a jaybird sitting on the side with my eyes closed. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Why it went so long? Let me tell you why your trial might go so long. Because just like I said earlier, God knew if you would, Brother Lon, if you would have popped my eyes right back open after the first week, I would have went and got another job. But that wasn't what he had planned. So he had to let this thing drag out, knowing that I was already healed before the foundation of the world. Knowing that I got a testimony how I dealt with cancer. So I'm not worried. I'm just waiting on the manifestation. Are you waiting on the manifestation of God in your life? You know, when I got down to this meeting, I had people, you know, when the pastor saw me, I went in the hotel. You know, everybody, God bless you, this and that. I got, we say, what he said when I jumped out of the car, he looked at me like, can Diggs really see? See, on the phone was a different story. But now I have heard, but now I see. Good friend of mine, Brother Smiley from Florida. Now he's looking at me. He's like, man, he ain't saying it openly. Now he's not speaking that. Because he's saying, if I'm down, he's saying, if Brother Diggs down here, man, he got some faith. Look like to me, he can't even see. How he gonna preach? But what he did was he jumped on board to meet the challenge too. Hallelujah! When you see somebody in your church going through something, when you see somebody backing out of church, what do you do? How do you respond to their need? Do you jump aboard or you just let them go home and stay home and be internet people? Hallelujah. What do you do in their time of need as a body? But now in my time of need, I got a pastor friend who, knowing that this thing going on in me is not of God. Right. And for one, he's thinking about his services. So he ain't got no choice but to come aboard. So he said, when he saw me, he helped me sign in the hotel. He went straight back to his church and started praying. Right. And then when we got to church that night, before I preached, I'm in the pastor's study like this. Before I got up, I heard him say, got friends from coming up from Florida, different people, different pastors, churches, you know, a meeting. And all them sitting out, they hadn't saw me yet. So he comes out, he says, y'all, we're going to have church tonight. He said, y'all know Brother Diggs is here? He said, but one thing about it, Brother Diggs is going through something in his eyes, but he don't need no sympathy. What are you looking for when sin is beating down your door? When you fall or you say something about somebody you shouldn't have said. You skip church to go play golf. How do you feel when that sin is right at your door? Are you looking for some sympathy? Or are you going to try to find a scripture where Brother Branham said, a quote, Brother Branham said this, so you can feel at ease with that iniquity? So he says, he comes out and say he don't need no sympathy. Everybody, amen! Ain't even saw me yet. So I get out, church. I'm going to tell you how simple but powerful God is. I get out, come on the pulpit. I hope this all right. You know, because some people are like, man, I wish he would preach something deep. This is deep. I'm trying to tell you how to defeat your enemy. You know, Brother Miller said there's two kind of people. People that got the money in the bank and can't use it, and people that got the authority to use it but ain't got the money. Hallelujah. But I come out, he called me out, I get on the pulpit, and I could scream and open my eyes, but they closed right back. So I got on the pulpit, I opened my Bible, because I'm believing I'm healed. That's what the Bible tells me, I'm healed.
That's right.
Now I'm waiting on the manifestation. Now I walk out, my eyes closed, they closed right back. So I open my Bible, I start turning. Scream, found the scripture. And as soon as I got ready to read, my eyes, boom, it came open. And I preached like I'm doing right now. Man, we had church, brother. I ran the aisle. Woo! Boy, I'm here. Hallelujah. You know how it is when God do something, especially in church. Don't let God do something. You're going to show out. You're going to let everybody know you're a believer. Hallelujah. And some of you still won't do it. But now we're preaching, man. I had a good church and everybody, oh, man, the anointing just moving. And my eyes are open, my eyes, oh, boy, I'm here. Church, right after I finished preaching, I went and sat down probably where Brother Jeff had my eyes closed. They closed. And then after service, everybody that say I didn't need no sympathy, What happened to the believers? What happened to Joshua and his church calling a solemn assembly? Because this ain't the way it's supposed to go down. God told us we got victory. God told us that no enemy should be able to stand before us. Wherever the sole of your feet trod, I've given that to you for a possession. See, one thing we got to realize about Caleb. Caleb, he said, I'm 85 years old. And I'm just as strong right now. But church, let's do the math. If I stand correctly, he said, I was 40 years old when Joshua called. When I heard Moses call. He was 40 years old. He spent 40 years in the wilderness. That's 80. He said, I'm 85. Where was he the other 5 years? He was already in the land fighting devils. He was already in the type of the Holy Ghost fighting demons, but he didn't have his possession yet. He didn't walk into his adoption yet, but he had the Holy Ghost fighting demons. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm like the prophet. I feel religious right now. Hallelujah. Amen. See, church, you got to realize, even though you got the Holy Ghost, you still got to fight.
That's right.
It ain't no cakewalk. You got to fight. You got to meet the challenge of sin day by day, every day, as long as you are in this flesh. But one thing I love, God came to give us an example. Why do we think God came back and chose a body of flesh?
Amen.
So he could show us that fully surrendered to this word will make your flesh fall under subjection. Hallelujah! Glory. Oh, I thought I was going to get more people to shout on that. Wow! Because the prophet of God said, anybody fully surrendered to God is what? Omnipotent. What's that? All powerful. My. Oh, my.
Hallelujah.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Hallelujah.
That means you go in the doctor's office and say, Doc, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't got it.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm covered by the blood. Jesus walked in a body of flesh just like this. It may not have been this dog, but he walked in one. Hallelujah. It sweated, he got tired, he got a little weary, but his flesh fell subject to the word that was in his heart.
Yeah.
Woo!
Right.
Hallelujah!
Right.
Huh.
Amen.
But now, church, to make a long story short, I had people going around, they were, you know, pastors and different people, you know, remember the man, you know, at the barbershop, he said, thank the Lord for healing me, and his eyes came open. Remember Hattie Wright, she said, that ain't nothing but the truth, and you know, God gave her this, remember the third pool, this, and remember this quote, remember that quote. I was about to get mad. And I'll tell you why. Because at that time, I didn't need a quote. I needed the manifestation of the quote. I needed the fulfillment of the quote in my life. So you just coming telling me that with no power ain't gonna do me no good. Hallelujah! Oh my! See, church, that's why this message is so powerful, because it produces a real live Jesus Christ on earth again. It's not just a bunch of quotes and rules and regulations, but it's the life of God and life more abundantly. Taking back everything the enemy has stripped from us. Hallelujah. That's how I believe. You know, I get criticized because they say, Brother Diggs, you don't quote enough quotes. You don't say his name. You don't that. You know what I say? Reason why I don't quote the quotes that much. Because I am the quotes. I am the third pool. I am perfect love. I am perfect faith. I am the representation of the token. I am God's provided place of worship. Hallelujah. What is the marriage of the Lamb all about? Me. Who is the mighty God unveiled? Where is he unveiling himself? We are the message. We are the manifestation of the message. We are the quotes in reality form. So I could easily say, Brother Branham said, but when I could say, let me tell you what he meant. Let me demonstrate what he was talking about.
That's it.
Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how you look at the message, but it's more than just some MP3s and some books and some tapes. But it's who I am. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am the mystery of God with him.
Amen.
Boy, I know that was too heavy for somebody. Reach up and grab it. Don't let it go over your head. Reach up and grab it. I'm not talking about this flesh. I'm talking about, you remember he said, Peter, and upon this, the gates of hell shall not prosper. What was he talking about? The revelation of Jesus Christ. In Peter. Where's that revelation now? In this bride. Hallelujah. Meeting the challenge of sin. And until you begin to see yourself like that, sin will come in and challenge you and defeat you.
That's right.
That's why the prophet could speak prophecy to us. He could come out and make statements like, as she's nearing the headstone. See, I like to just stop right there. He didn't say when the headstone fully comes down. He didn't say when we get in the presence of the headstone. He said as we're nearing the headstone, she'll become a super church. A super race. Hallelujah. And then in another place he said, we'll be so much like God till we call him out of that dimension. Woo! I'll be so much like God till he can't restrain being separate from me no more. He has to become one with his body again. Hallelujah. With his spirit. And that was Adam's problems. It wasn't his flesh that fell. The prophet of God said it was his spirit.
That's right.
Because in his spirit, he was defeated now.
Exactly.
He was still in a body of flesh. But in that flesh, he couldn't see himself as a God anymore.
Amen.
Because his nature began to change.
Amen.
Oh my. But all you got to do, the prophet said, you can put that egg under a puppy or under a chicken. In the right atmosphere, it'll hatch. You can put it under Jeff, you can put it under Lonnie, or you can put it under Diggs. If it's the right atmosphere, you'll hatch.
Amen.
Hallelujah! See, our problem is we look at the ministry as a buffet. We say, well, now, don't get me wrong. Some of y'all eat sweet peas, but I can't stand them. I can't eat no sweet peas. Nothing against you. I just don't like them. You know, and I like oxtails. You might not like them. So we go to Golden Corral. You get some sweet peas. I get some fried chicken. You know we got chicken. I get some fried chicken and some cornbread. You get mashed potatoes and I get rice. And you look on my plate, you're like, Brother Diggs, rice has so much starch in it. Why do you eat that? And I say, well, your mashed potatoes is going to turn to sugar. Why do you eat that? So we sit back and critique one another about what we're eating off the buffet. But we're eating based upon our taste, right? But here's the key. It's all being prepared by the same cook. And we get all upset with one another about different personalities. This one did that and that one did that. When it's all coming from the same God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. I like to shout hallelujah loud. You might say.
Yeah.
I like to say, woo! You might say. Coming from the same God.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at you the way you do it. Just leave me alone and let me do it the way I do. Hallelujah. Glory. Because one way or another, if it's God, it's going to meet the challenge of sin. Hallelujah. And I'm about to close. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, those are some special words. It helps the congregation out. You know, so now we be sleeping in. All you got to say next service, Brother Jeff? I'm about to close. Amen. You have babies that been asleep the whole service. You say, I'm about to close. They wake up out they sleep. Sometimes you have deacons on the back row. They sit back there. You say, I'm about to close. They say, amen. But Lord, I've seen people pick up their Bible and never pick up their Bible the whole service. As soon as you say, I'm about to close, they pick it up just to close it. So let me help you out if you're a little sleepy, I'm about to close. Hallelujah. Oh. But the bride realizes the true message inside. I said I'm about to, I didn't say I was. Because the bride, she wants the word. She says, give me more and more and more of it. More life, more abundantly. Hallelujah. I like what Paul said. What? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abide?
No, sir.
No, sir. God forbid. We'll take the grace without the sin. Hallelujah. But what I love, church, in my closing, meeting the challenge of sin. Now, Jesus was born under a sign. Like I said earlier, it was only a remnant of people that realized he was on the earth.
That's right. Yeah.
But God had it that way.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So those people could come out the woodwork.
Right.
Hallelujah. Come and see, it was a hidden secret. It was a mystery. It was only an elected lady at that time that could realize the Messiah was on the earth again. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So now you got a Simeon coming out there, you know, who was on the earth before Jesus. But before Jesus was even born, God gave him a promise to meet the sin that was in his body. Woo! God gave him a promise that met death that was working in his body. God gave him a promise that you will not die until you see the Christ. So what did that do? Even though he was a devout old man, that put sin on hold. Woo! That put death on hold. Hallelujah. That put the undertaker on hold. No, no, I get excited when I talk about Jesus. Some people get excited about football and basketball and tennis and hockey and all. I get excited about Jesus. Because I don't need a season to get pumped up. Hallelujah. This season is everlasting. The season don't get old. If you get injured, that means you can get healed quick to get back in the game.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But now, there was only a certain group of people. You know, Simeon was one of them, like I just said. Simeon comes down, being led of the Holy Ghost. Before Christ was even born, God was dealing with him, telling him, say, you will not die until God is born in the flesh. Well, that's powerful, ain't it?
Amen.
Wouldn't you like for God to speak something like that in your heart?
Amen.
Just put sin on hold. Just stop it in its tracks. You think about it. Any little sickness came Simeon's way, it had to purge out. It had to be temporary. Why? Because he had a promise from God in his heart that he can't die until he see the Messiah. Ooh-wee. I don't know about y'all, but I got a promise like that. The Bible said that they all shall sleep. Hallelujah. And you know that sleep, it identifies, you know, when you're going in that laying place. And sometimes, you know, when it talks about death, it talks about separation from God. And you know, the Bible says, I believe it's in Romans, it says, arise up out of your sleep. There's a lot of people in the message still falling asleep. But the Bible says that we all say fall asleep. There's going to be somebody watching and praying, looking for the Lord to come back. Somebody that's getting us rapture in motion.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But then there was another lady around named Anna, who was another old, devout, hallelujah, virtuous woman, being led by the Spirit where the king was.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Identifying that this is he. Oh my. Meeting the challenge of sin to that day. But this is what I want you to see. At the same time, Jesus being born, Jesus in the womb, there was also a John.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. See now Jesus, his birth and everything was in the heavens. Woo, all the angels, everybody rejoiced. But then Jesus drops down to earth and gives a compliment to John. There'll never be another man as great as John.
Right. Yeah.
So his birth was just as important.
Amen.
Amen. But let's look at it a little bit more. Who was John? John was the prophet that introduced the Messiah. Now I got a question for you. What was the angel's name that produced the message to John, to John's parents? Gabriel. And what was the angel that gave the message that produced the message to Mary? Gabriel. So the same messenger that produced a word for his coming is the same message that'll produce Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It wasn't a different dispensation or a different angel. And all the prophet of God said that the same anointing that's on the bride is the same anointing that's on Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he also said, one time he was preaching, he said, the same anointing I see visions by is the same anointing Brother Johnson preaches by. So when you see a level of discernment moving in your church, you ought to say, oh, he's trying to be like Brother Branham. No, he ain't. Trying to be like Christ. Amen. In him, amen, the hope of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. See, what we got to do, we got to realize that I got to get to this part. I got to close. Oh, my wife always get over and say, stop telling people you're going to close and don't close. Oh my, but we have, see, you know what's going on? Let me tell you what's going on, church. I feel a pull. That's what's going on. I want to shed it off, but it's a pull that keeps me going. How you know what a pull does? A pull makes you come against your will. A pull makes you do things against your will. Hallelujah. Unless you stop the pull. But right now I'm yielding to it. Hallelujah. But look at it, church, when Jesus was born. There was John there, Jesus was here. But the key thing I want to show you is, although Jesus' birth was so powerful, and you know, it was signified in the heavens and everything, and there was a remnant that knew about it. It was a hidden secret there laying on earth. Although he was being born, the complement to his ministry was also on earth. Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, and the rest of the disciples, they were also born in Jesus' day. Why? Amen. So they could demonstrate his message. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. So after he was gone, that message that Jesus preached could be lived out through a body of believers that believe what Jesus said. Yes, so their birth was just as important. Yes, although it wasn't identified in the heavens, the whole Sanhedrin didn't know nothing about those boys till after Jesus was gone. They didn't know nothing about Peter, James, and John until Jesus was gone. Let me say that again. They didn't know nothing about those disciples until Jesus was gone. They didn't know nothing about John's disciples until John was gone. How many know what I'm talking about? Now here we go again. Same anointing. Prophet goes to a carnival and the lady said, do you know that there's a light that follows you? He gets on the bus. There's a lady that works down in watch at the White House. She said, hey, do you know that you were born under a sign? God doing it again, showing that his birth is on earth again. Hallelujah. You know, you got people every year, they go to Israel. They go to Jerusalem and Ephesus and all the different ruins and go back to the Red Sea and look for the chariot wheels and all these things. They want to see a part of history. They want to go back to Bethlehem and see God's birthplace. But I beg your pardon. Amen. You ain't got to go to Israel to see where Christ is being born. Just look around. Amen. Hallelujah. He's been born in Lima, Ohio, in BCF. He's been born in the deacon's house. He's been born in the dad's house. Amen. Christ is being born. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. See, but what's happening is we have to be careful because there's a spirit that's got us running after relics and different things that the prophet left when it ain't no power in that. The power is in the message that he preached. He said that your message shall forerun my second coming. He didn't say nothing about the den in Arizona. He didn't say nothing about when you go to Sabino Canyon, you'll be anointed all over again. I know that's kind of strong for some people. Let me tell you, just hold your rocks, put the rocks down. Don't stone me just yet. But let me tell you my experience. I went to Sabino Canyon. And I will, no doubt, like a lot of other people, yeah. Oh, boy, I'm going to go where the prophet went. Yeah. Woo. Going to Eagle's Rock. Yeah, I got the pictures, but now I get to see it, Brother Jeff. Woo. Y'all might want to say amen. Y'all know that's how we feel. Until you get there. So I'm getting to the mountain, and brothers, we go, come on, brother, these, they got jugs of water, and all that, tell us testimony all the time. They got jugs, you know, it's the Arizona desert, you know, and me, you know, it's hot in Carolina, but it ain't hot like that, you know. You know, so it, come on, and I'm thinking, why we got all this bottled water for? It's November. I said, why we got all this water? He said, you'll see. So we're going up the mountain. Now, I already stepped on the mountain. Still don't feel no anointing. I'm sorry. I just can't. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's different. But you know, I've heard people say, as soon as I touched the mountain, I felt the anointing. Ain't no life in them rocks. Ain't no life in that dirt. You mean to tell me God gonna keep his anointing in that dirt, in them rocks?
That's right.
Rattlesnakes crawling over. All the stuff going on. I mean, everybody got a different experience. I'm talking about Brother D's. I ain't trying to take away from what happened to you when you went to the mountain. I'm talking about Brother D's. Put your rocks down. But I get to the mountain and we going up. I'm like, whew. The anointing I started feeling was tight. I ain't feel like I was levitating. I ain't feel like I was floating. I ain't feel like throwing something up in the air and say, thus said the Lord. I ain't feel like doing none of that. All I feel like, man, pass me that water. Give me some of that water. That's what I feel like. That's the anointing I felt tight. And then as we were going up, I said, oh, man. You know, I was thinking, I said, boy. Brother Branham was in shape. And then the different testimonies I begin to hear, I tried to become one with the testimonies. How many know you got to have your own testimony? I remember Brother Perry said, Brother Branham could walk on his heels or he could walk on his toes. Because when he got shot in his legs, it messed up the muscles in his legs. So I'm out there. And they ain't doing nothing for me. Give me the water, bruh. So, church, we finally get up to the mountain. Get all the way up there. And say, oh, Brother Dix, we're here. Eagle's Rock. And I look at the rock. Ain't nothing on the rock. I said, what you talking about? He said, this is it. I said, what? Ain't nothing up here. He said, oh, the fanatical people carved it out the rock. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, they carved out the rock. Uh-oh. The challenge of sin. Here it comes, church. In my closing. Now the devil's up there on Eagles, on Sabino Canyon with us. And he comes to me, he says, I wonder if anything else is true. Because in the natural, I ain't got no evidence. All I got is pictures. So he's trying to wear me out. I wonder if Sunset Mountain, all that other stuff true. I wonder if he really did, you know, create squirrels and all these other things. Ain't nothing on this rock. You just got to take their word for it. But you know what meets the challenge of sin? The word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. If you listen closely, when you're going through a trial, the word will come to combat whatever you're going through. If you pay attention, God talks to you more than what you think. And right then and there, when the devil comes, because remember, when Sharon Rose died and Brother Brandon's first wife died, the devil came and reminded him of everything that was true.
Right.
And then he said, you want to serve a God like that? But then he said something from way down, woo! Something way down on the inside.
Amen.
Something way, way, way down there. Amen. Hallelujah. That sin couldn't cover it up. Sin couldn't stop it. Death couldn't stop it. Sickness couldn't. Nothing could. It was way down there. And it began to come out and says, where else I'm going to go? That's the Lord I'm going to serve.
That's right.
You better believe it with all my heart. Hallelujah. See, the word came to combat that challenge of sin. That what is sin? Unbelief.
Amen. Amen.
So right then and there, I'm sitting there, and he says, I wonder if anything else true. Then a scripture comes. Boy, that thing came in like lightning. It about shook me on the mountain. I had an experience up there. And what it did, it produced joy. Hallelujah. Because right then and there, when the devil talking about all this negative and this and that, he's meeting the challenge, God comes in with the word. You know, the Bible said that the word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Woo! A discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Yeah, the Bible said it goes out to the marrow of the bone. That, you know what marrow is? That when you're eating chicken and you bite the bone over, there's some more meat inside. Hallelujah. Oh, my. But now I'm sitting there, that word comes in. Oh, my. And that word says, yeah, the devil's saying all this. He said, but the Bible says, blessed is he who believes and has not seen. You know what I did? I went back down that mountain and said, I'm so glad that I can say one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. I went back down the mountain with the same joy I had going up the mountain. Why? Because the word of God met me in my time of challenge. And that's what I'm saying, church. Jesus didn't do it all by himself. He had disciples. And just as your prophet was being born, there was also other seeds laying in his day. They had to rise up with his message. Why? To be the revelation of that message. To be the revealed word for the hour. To meet the challenge of the day. Why in our day we have a message talking about perfect faith.
Amen.
Perfect love.
Amen.
Oh, an absolute be certain of God.
Yes, sir.
Why in our day?
Amen.
Jesus. Because we were born to meet the challenge of sin.
That's right.
Let the musicians come. And if you really don't understand what I'm talking about,
amen.
I'm going to tell you everybody that was born after 1965. Amen. I ain't ask nobody. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. After 1965, that make you like in your 40s or something like that, right? I fall in that category. Born after 1965. The prophet was already gone. Billy Graham was still here, though. Oral Roberts was still here. Why didn't I pick up their message? Because I, you, us, we're the fulfillment of William Brown's message.
Amen.
Billy Graham's message would do an injustice to the life inside that was in my seed. Or Robert's message would do an injustice to the seed that was inside of me. So I had to have a more mature word. Hallelujah! Oh, my. That's why Billy could be on the earth, and I could say, I don't, never heard of him. Never heard of him. Never heard of him. Or Robert, never heard him preach. But then all of a sudden, I get a track. Man, this is like seed is connecting. And then it begins to unfold. Hallelujah. See, church, there's something in you to meet the challenge of sin. And if you even just take, I'm trying to quit, y'all. But I just love this pool in here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For all you people that's watching on the internet, you need to try to get in church. Because the pool is in here. It feels good in here. Hallelujah. Feels good in here. Hallelujah. Don't cut me off yet. Don't cut me off yet. Wherever you're at, don't cut me off just yet. I'm going to finish this up. Amen. But church, what Christ has done, the challenge of sin in every day, just like I said, in Luther's day, there was a seed of faith in him to meet the challenge of unbelief for his day. Wesley, hallelujah, he had to meet the challenge of heathenism and riotous living Because there was holiness inside of him. There was sanctification inside of him. And Seymour, inside of his time period, there was something inside of him that would awake a dead church. Hallelujah. But the thing I love about it all, our messenger took each one of those reformers, showed who they were, identified what they had, and revealed it. Brought it to us. So we, what's going on? Through his message, the head and the body are meeting. We're becoming one again. Hallelujah. So sin can no longer abound in our bodies. With the word living there. Hallelujah. So church, you are in this day to meet the challenge of unbelief. Whether it be a sickness, whether it be somebody just moving into some wrong doctrine, some unbelief, or whatever, you were created to meet the challenge of this day. Nobody else could be born in a day where same-sex marriages could be legal but us. Because there's something in us that'll still say, God said it's wrong. Hallelujah! See, there's something about this church where the fullness of God is being revealed in a many-membered bride. Hallelujah. Resisting the challenge of sin. Jesus always met the challenge. Amen. But the thing I love about it, he always defeated the enemy. Amen. Your enemy is defeated. Amen. Let me let you look at your enemy a different way. Satan, the devil, what is he? A tool in God's hands. But not only a tool, he's the perfect tool. Because the Bible says when he was created perfect with the onyx, the rubies, the emeralds, the sapphires, all these beautiful jewels in him to produce the perfect trial in your life. Woo! You say, why I'm going to this? Because you asked to be like God. That's why I say your trial is a fiery trial. Hallelujah. You count it more precious than gold tried in fire. Why? Because that fiery trial produces perfection. Amen.
That's it. That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
And I know I ain't get a chance, maybe next time, finish the testimony about my eyes. But as you can see, they open.
Amen.
And the best thing about it, I caught what God was saying full time. Although I wasn't ready, but I caught it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what you got to do. You got to meet that challenge. Put down your unbelief and accept the challenge, church.
Amen.
One thing I love about that Antichrist riding, every time he rode, every time he changed mans, God had something there. Boom! Stop him in his tracks.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A lion anointing. Boom! An ox anointing. Boom! The wiseness of a man, boom! And now an eagle anointing, boom! You say, well, I'm anointed by the eagle. No, I ain't. I'm anointed by the lion, the eagle, the ox, and the wisdom of man. We are in the fullness of time. Hallelujah. We have the complete revelation of Jesus Christ in this bride.
Amen.
That must be the time to quit.
Hallelujah.
How many love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing a song in the name of the Lord. In moments like these, sing out a song. Sing out the love song to Jesus. In moments like these, lift up my hands. Lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord.
Singing,
I love you, Lord.
Singing,
I love you, Lord. Come on, sing with me. Meet the challenge of sin in your life.
Moments like sing out a song. Sing out a
on, church. Give God everything you got.
In moments,
meet the challenge of sin in your life. Sing out a song to the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, oh yes, yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, yes, yes. For where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow.
How many's enjoying the word? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.
How many's enjoying the trombone section and the bass section out there too? Isn't that beautiful? Just beautiful. Don't you just love him? You know, Brother Diggs said it, and it's true. There was a great pull tonight. So we all want the supernatural God in our lives. In victory consistently. In a positive testimony consistently. Many times I remember going up to Sabina Canyon, Brother Diggs, and I used to take people up there all the time. The Lutherans would see eagle. By the way, I saw eagle on the rock. Brother Dave, you saw eagle on the rock, didn't you? Yeah, I saw. Brother Donnie saw eagle on the rock. Real clear. 1969 is real clear. 1971, 72, 73, 74, about 76, 78, somebody started chipping away at it. But when you go past that Eagle Rock, the Pentecostals would get all excited. They just would feel something. The Lutherans would just say, praise God. The Baptists say, isn't that wonderful? I'm talking about those that were formerly Lutherans, formerly Baptists, or formerly Pentecostals. So each one of them responded differently, but they both got to see the testimony of the Lord Jesus. And so that's why I like Brother Diggs. Somebody asked me, why do you have Brother Diggs through? I said, well, because he's the antithesis of what I am. He's the opposite. He can preach directly from inspiration, never has to look at a note, run up and down the aisles, and sweat completely. And I have to stay right behind the pulpit, read my notes. So, you know, God's got all kinds, doesn't he? And I just appreciate the gift of God. Brother Chad, is that's Friday and Saturday, is that correct? Okay, Friday for sure, and kids already know the time, but just go ahead and announce it. 7 o'clock? Okay, 7 o'clock at the Barn of Riches. And never had to shout so much in all my life. Amen. I'd like to sing one more song. We'll dismiss you in the name of the Lord, although you're not going anywhere anyway. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Let's just sing that unto him. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Stay as long as you want. Amen. I don't know what key it is. E flat it says here. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy. Jesus. Amen. Praise God. How many enjoy Sister Debbie?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love to see her get a little embarrassed and shake her head at me like that. Praise God. Lord Jesus, it's been so good to be in your house and just to love you and love the word and just to hear the good news. Lord, we live in a dark and negative world, and yet we have such a positive, wonderful gospel. God, truly, Lord God, we should be from the depths of our soul the most happiest people on the face of this earth. Lord, I just pray for every person here that perhaps has allowed the circumstances of life to get them in a negative thought pattern. That right now they break that pattern by the words of their own mouth. By the words of their own mouth. The word is nigh thee. The word of faith is nigh thee even in thy mouth. That's the word that you speak. You speak it. Remember, total surrender is omnipotence. Brother Branham said, when a son of God places the word of God on his lips, that's deity speaking. You don't have to feel it to do it. You do it and then feel it. The reward comes after obedience. You don't wait for the feeling and then obey. You obey and then feelings come later. That's the way God always works. So when negative feelings come, that's not scriptural. The Holy Spirit is always positive, never negative. Negative circumstances will surround you. That'll happen every day of your life. Then it's your choice whether to just melt into that negative atmosphere or to change the atmosphere, change the environment by the words that you speak. You're a little creator. Now this week is important. This next Sunday is important. I want you to believe the word. Jesus Christ still in 2010 fills with the Holy Spirit. He still wants to fill you more than you want to be filled. But you must lay in his presence. You must get still and quiet. As Brother Digg said, whether it's a puppy or a chicken, it just takes the atmosphere. So get in an atmosphere, in an environment for a birth. Get in a realm, in a frame of mind. The right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass. When you open your Bible, believe what you're reading. Believe it. When it speaks, when the word says he wants to give you the Holy Ghost more than you desire it, then you say, then I believe that. If a father would give his son good gifts, how much more would our Heavenly Father give them the Holy Ghost that ask for it? And there are those of you, including myself, including your pastor, would just love a refilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'm praying for a brand new, living, refilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And each one of us come, spend this week on your knees, spend this week in prayer. Each one of you go around and tell the other person, God's going to do something this week. God's going to do something this week. God's going to do something this week. And you know what will happen? God will do something this week. When you make an investment in something, you watch it to see that investment grow. So you make an investment this week and watch and see that investment grow. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your life. Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe it's your tongue. Maybe it's a loved one. Whatever it may be, and whatever and whoever it may be, you just create such an atmosphere, Brother Ram said in the token, that they'll want to fall into it. God help each one of us to create such an atmosphere that our friends, our loved ones will fall into it. That's our desire. We love you so much, Father. Thank you for this time together, truly refreshing around your word. We love you, Father. We commit our lives to you now in the lovely and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. What song are you playing there, Sister Kim? Jesus, draw me close. Let's just sing that as we dismiss you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Yes, closer, Lord, to you. And let the world around me fade away. Yes, Jesus, draw me close. Oh, closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey. Yes, Jesus, draw me close. Fade away. Amen. Somebody getting over 50 came to be prayed. Brother Mike. Brother Mike, where are you at? We're going to pray for you. Why don't you come forward? And we're going to believe. The ministers, if you'd come forward, we lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. Amen. Brother Diggs, if you're still here, praise God. Okay, that's fine. Amen. So you know, Brother Mike's been having some pulmonary problems, and that's just another big name for a demon, isn't it, Brother Mike? Throat problems are getting better, but he's been having some passing blood. So we're going to ask for Almighty God, and we shall receive. And the Bible even says, ask that your joys might be full. And I couldn't think of a better atmosphere right now for God to move. I can't think of a better atmosphere. So, I mean, think about if you were in a bar right now or in some sports event, that wouldn't be quite the atmosphere, but this is the atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can move and touch a life. Is there anybody here that was healed from lung disorders? Anybody at all? Anybody? I can't really see. Brother Dave, okay, praise the Lord. I just wanted to have somebody that had been delivered from that praying with him at the same time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Dave, why don't you pray? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. 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 Heal the stomach, the intestines, the bowels, lungs, throat. Savior, defeat it. Yes, we do. Lord, in His Word, Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, amen. I believe that. Yes, Jesus. Come on to me. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Mike said for 6 months he has not been able to breathe through his nose. He's lost his sense of smell. He said at this very moment he is now breathing through his nose right now. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The same God that just gave him that liberty in the nose. I want to hear Mike sing again, don't you? Amen. God gave him that voice for the bride of Jesus Christ. And the devil's just trying to silence him. And one day he's going to stand over there just like he normally does, he and Elsie, and he's going to sing for the glory of God. Amen. 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 He's my Lord. There is no other one. Let's just sing that unto him. He's my Lord. Amen.
He's my Lord. There is no
to the hopeless man.
like you to bow your head and do something different. I've never asked you to do this before, but I want you to pray for the seat that you're sitting in, the seat that's in front of you and around you for Sunday service. I want you to pray that whoever sits in that seat would be touched and moved by the Holy Spirit, that God would anoint them, quicken them, that they would do their part in the service, that they would live out as they've invested, as they prayed and sought the Lord, maybe missed a meal or two or three, and sought God in quietness for the souls of sinners, for the souls of backsliders, for those that need the baptism of the Holy Spirit and desire a refilling. Lord God, we pray for the area that's around us right now. God, we pray that this place, this building, this sanctuary would be so anointed. God, that every vessel that fills this seat Sunday would be anointed. That God, every heart and mind would be quickened by your word. Lord, that just as that body that fell and they threw it into the tomb of Elijah and it sprung back to life again. And Lord Jesus, Brother Bram said, when we're in those ballparks or those large theaters and stuff, there's spirits that linger. May your Holy Spirit linger. May your Holy Spirit remain. May this great anointing, Lord God, not only that lives in us, be present, Lord, in this building when we return. We hallow ourselves. We sanctify ourselves. We live clean. We're not going to see how close we can get to sin without sinning this week. We're going to hug the mountain. We're going to seek your face. We're going to pray. Lord God, we've always wanted a body ministry, not just a pulpit dynamic, but the dynamics of the Holy Spirit in the body. God, every single vessel. Lord God, light teeming out of every pore and the fingertips. God, the Holy Spirit moving. Every person believing what Adam lost, we have returned to. That holy image of God that Adam lost, that has been restored. That capstone is coming near. And God, as it becomes nearer and nearer, as your prophet said, we're becoming more like him. That is in order to be united with him. And we believe that, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the washing of the water by the word tonight. Thank you for the good, encouraging word of God tonight. Thank you for the stirring of the Holy Spirit tonight. Thank you for so many people that put left and right hand together, clapped, sang, rejoiced, and lent to the power and presence and atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want you to move. We want you to know that you have liberty. And Lord God, that we want nothing within ourselves to hush the voice of the Holy Spirit, to grieve the Holy Spirit. So Lord, as we leave this building, it's Wednesday. God, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, may we just seek your face, draw near to you. May you speak to us. God, I pray that come Sunday, that there'll be many testimonies after that day, of what God did in hearts and lives is my prayer. We love you, Father. We thank you for the lingering of the Holy Spirit. And that comes from the hearts of the believer, the longing that each believer has for your reality. We thank you, Father, for this time together. Bless us as we go now. We ask it in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because is worth
Jesus may be more like thee. Jesus, make me more like thee. And give me a heart that's filled. Is Lord.